Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in again today. Looking forward to finishing 1 Samuel chapter 11. It's just an amazing story. A story that has so much drama and tension, and we're about to see how all of it is resolved. One of the things I don't like about Hallmark movies, don't hate me, don't judge me, is that, you know, you create this big tension, this big drama, and it all gets resolved, and people live happily ever after in the space of like an hour and a half. But, you know, when you read your Bible, you do read stories like this one where, yeah, in real time, it takes a while for it to unfold. But in just one short reading, I don't suppose it would just take but a couple minutes to read this chapter. You see it all resolve. And when it comes to God's timetable, John, you know, we see things as taking forever. We see things as being, you know, how long is this going to take? But in the mind of God, it's all resolved. And a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And I just love to see the resolution that the Lord brings to this situation and to every other situation for that matter.
You know, these are great narratives to teach us we can trust in God. And as you mentioned, we wait on God's timing. You know, I'm sure that these 7 days, I'm sure seemed like a long time to these people at Jabesh-Gilead until they finally got word, but help did come. And in our lives, God works that same way, not always in our timing, but God does work, and He is always present, and He's providential in our lives.
So we left last episode with the men of Jabesh-Gilead, time's up. So they said to the Ammonites, okay, you know, we're going to come out of the city. They've been laying siege this whole time. They've received the message from Saul that he's there to help them. So they're going to trust that what Saul said is true. And so they say to the Ammonites, okay, if you need to pluck out our eyes, then so be it. And we pick it up right there in verse number 11. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in 3 companies. They came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that 2 of them were not left together. So the Ammonites fully expected for that to be a great day of victory for them. They expected that they outnumbered the people of Jabesh-Gilead. Indeed, they did. They expected for this to be just a mop-up battle. Little did they know that Saul had prepared the troops to come in 3 great waves and to attack them in the early morning hour right up till noontime. And it was a mop-up operation for sure.
And this is a great example. We talked before about there's not a lot of time going on here. And so for Saul to be able to get all this organized, get the battle plan laid out and what they're going to do, clearly God's hand was upon Saul, and Saul leads him in a dramatic way. So they just decimate the enemy.
And what's interesting is how the Bible describes the extent of the victory, that not 2 of them were standing together. And what that means, my friends, is that there was such profound fear that it was really every man for himself. Nobody was kind of regathering into a unit, into a platoon, into a division or a company. No, they were just all every man for himself. And that's complete fear. It's complete fear where they're scattering. And we see that here in a good way, in 1 Samuel chapter 11, that when God's power is displayed in and through his people, he puts the enemy to flight. But sometimes in the Bible, we see fear operating in a bad way as it scatters people. And I think specifically about that night in Gethsemane, where the Bible says in Matthew 26:56 that they all forsook him and fled. Just as Jesus had predicted sometime before on that very evening, Satan desires to have you. He's going to sift you. He's going to separate you. That's the job of the enemy, to intimidate, to get us to have an every man for himself attitude, to pick us off one by one.
you know, Satan does work with great intimidation in our lives. And he wants us to get to thinking that we all are alone, that we're alone. There's no help around us. It's just we're dependent upon our own power. And if we start thinking that way, that it's all dependent upon us, we start being filled with anxieties and worry, we are in a right place to fall. But God wants us to know he does not leave us. He does not forsake us. We can follow him. We can trust in him. And I think what Jesus told, you know, the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he is praying and he is saying, not my will, but thine be done. He comes back. The disciples are asleep. He says, hey, watch, awake, watch and pray. You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's so true in life where people, their spirit wants to do something, but they're not walking with God. And in the moment of battle, they become paralyzed with fear and go away.
And there is a fear when you think that you're alone. But you're not alone. But it's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David kept that awareness of God's presence in his life. That's why he had boldness. I think about Timothy, that he really struggled with fear. When Paul wrote him, he said, Timothy, you're not alone. I'm still doing what God called me to do. The gift of God that he gave you years ago at your ordination is still operable. Stir that thing up. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me. Hey, there are men like Onesiphorus. He's not kowtowing. He's standing for God. Yes, of course, all they that are in Asia be turned away from me. But Timothy, you are not alone. Others are being faithful, and God is with us. Have faith.
You know, I take great comfort in what Paul tells Timothy about, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And sometimes in our culture today, you know, it used to be at a time when a lot of people in America said they believed the Bible was the word of God. That's not so much so. And if we're not careful, we can become a little bit fearful. Oh, no, you know, America, the United States does not have people who are really following God in politics so much anymore. And we can become afraid, almost as if God's no longer in charge. But God is in charge. And when I'm tempted today to think about how bad things are sometimes, I think about Paul and Timothy in their day. They were in a godless society.
So much worse.
Yes.
So much worse. Look at verse number 12. And the people said unto Samuel, who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. So interesting, John, that this harkens back to Mizpah, when Saul was declared to be king among the people. Remember, there went with Saul a band of men whose hearts the Lord had touched, but there were also the naysayers. You know, this guy will never save us. I'm not following him. They were critical. Now that this great victory has been wrought, the people are saying, hey, where are those critics? Where are those people that are unwilling, that didn't bring presence to Saul? Hey, let's put them to death. It's just amazing to me how fickle people are.
It sure is fickle. And when I see this, I just think of how vindictive they are, wanting to kill these people. You know, they're jealous now for Saul's sake. Hey, Saul, we're talking to Samuel, obviously, right now. Let's just do away with these people. It reminds me slightly of the disciples of John the Baptist in John chapter 3, when they come and say, hey, look, you know, Jesus, his disciples are baptizing more people than you are. And they're jealous for John, and this is bothering them. But John has the right perspective, and Saul here has the right perspective.
He does. There's something in all of us that loves to see the critic get what he deserves. You know, we see these critical people or these negative people, and then circumstances arise that show that they were wrong. We want to kind of stick it to them, see that. And yet that's not the spirit of Christ. It's one thing to love the weak person, to come alongside the physically disabled person or the person that is depressed mentally and try to encourage them. It's another thing to love the Pharisee. Jesus found a way to love every class of people, the ones that were easier to love, the ones that were harder to love. He just extended mercy and grace. And we'll find that here, because watch what it says in verse number 13. And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Wow, what a perspective. First of all, it's a gracious perspective. No, we're not going, this is not a day for us to start fighting each other. We're not going to allow this victory to be marred by a bad spirit. And number two, we're not going to allow this to distract us from what God did. God gave us the victory. The Lord is the one that ought to be praised, so let's praise him for giving us what we don't deserve.
And I think here how Saul is a great example of the right perspective and attitude. You know, to Saul, this was not about him. You know, often people who are selfish and are focused upon themselves, if people do them wrong, well, they want to get back at them. But Saul says, no, this is God. This is not about me. God has given us the victory. This is a great day of celebration. And I just appreciate Saul's perspective here. It's not about him. It's about doing the will of God. So let's just forgive these naysayers and move on and enjoy what God's done for us.
And I love the fact that he uses the very personal name of God, Jehovah. You see God do something powerful or something strong as far as a military strength. You'd expect for him to use a word, the name for God that means strength, or you know, the God of hosts. But he said, no, it's the Lord. He's culturing this personal relationship with God. It's a great season in his life. Verse number 14, then said Samuel to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. Very interesting, because we talked a few episodes ago about how Saul was supposed to go to Gilgal. Now remember, folks, Gilgal was that first encampment for the people of God when they crossed the Jordan River before they had ever conquered the country. And Saul had that time to sit and think about what God had done and what God had called him to do. No one else knew he was anointed at that point. And now, after everybody knows that Saul's the leader, and Saul has behaved himself wisely, and everybody is in the Saul court. You know, everyone wants to serve him. They go back to Gilgal, and there they declare in a practical way, Saul's our man. I love it.
Oh, I do too, Pastor. I think about what you said a couple episodes ago when we talked about Gilgal, of how it was an important place in the land of Israel and how it had great memories there, and how once they crossed the Jordan River, Gilgal was the place really where the people dedicated themselves to God, to follow God and to serve God with all their being. And in a great way, they're coming now to renew the kingdom here, to focus upon, hey, this is our king God's given us. You know, we're going to follow him. God's going to, you can just see the
esprit de corps.
Yeah, exactly right. And just the great air about it. You know, this is where God's working in our land. And this was a great day there at Gilgal.
Verse number 15 will be the last verse that we'll consider today. All the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. Now, Saul had already been anointed privately by Samuel. He'd already been declared to be the king in Mizpah. But there's a very real and practical way where the people now are on board. This is their intentionality. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings. Well, it's interesting because the first time they were in Gilgal, it was just Samuel and Saul, and they were offering peace offerings. In other words, they knew, just the two of them back in that day, what God was doing, and they trusted God. But now everybody knows. And that's such a great lesson for all of us. And that is, we need to rest in what we know God's doing in our life. We need to rest in what we know how God is leading us. When it was just the word of God, Samuel is a good picture of God's communication to man. Saul, when it was just the word of God, and you were all by yourself, and you had the knowledge that God had called you, that was enough for you to offer peace offerings and say, thank you, God, for what you're doing. But now everybody knows. Too often in life, we only praise God when other people recognize our value. But Saul, early on, had this great faith in the Lord.
You know, it's interesting in Scripture, before God ever uses somebody dramatically in a spiritual way, there's always a time of preparation where God has, you know, spoken to that person individually. I think of happens throughout the Word of God. You know, think of Joseph, Moses, you can go on David, the list could go on and on. But people whom God gave them a word, and they were to be faithful and have faith in God. And there came a time when God dramatically displayed that this was his man, and God used him in a powerful way. And Saul is walking with God. And now it's going to be, the king will now be a full-time job. You know, after this, we're going to find that he doesn't go back and plow the fields anymore.
Right.
And so there is a change in Israel, and Saul is flying high, you know, in every way right now as the king of Israel.
And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. I love how the passage concludes. There's great joy. When we do things God's way, when we trust him, when we trust his plan, that's always going to be cause for rejoicing. And I know that life is not always a victory in a battle, but life in the Christian sphere is always in the presence of God. And Saul learned, whether he was by himself at Gilgal or with all the people that recognized him, in either case, God was there. And that's why we can rejoice. So I hope that helps today. We're going to jump into a brand new chapter tomorrow. So I hope you'll stay with us, and I hope you have a great day today. God bless, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.